Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. As you all know, commodity prices have experienced a downward trend over the last couple of years. As of today, however, we may be experiencing a turnaround in the economics of the environment in which we operate. We are convinced that this positive shift in the dynamics will apply to the sugar, ethanol, and energy business in Brazil, as well as to the farming business in Argentina, albeit for different reasons. Regarding the sugar, ethanol, and energy business, we are now in presence of a more favorable pricing outlook. This is mainly driven by the global sugar deficit and by some specific measures that the Brazilian government undertook to promote the ethanol consumption. This better price scenario will be strengthened by the impressive operational performance that we are achieving. We are reporting a significant improvement in our agricultural industrial operations, including 33% increase in total milling, 21% increase in TRS per hectare, resulting in a 37% increase in total production of sugar and ethanol measured in TRS equivalent, and a 54% increase in exported energy, implying more than 70 kilowatt hour per ton of cane crushed, by far the highest ratio in the industry. At the same time, the depreciation of the Brazilian real further dilutes our costs. It is worth noting the convenience on the timing of this positive outlook for our cash generation. As we previously stated, Adecoagro's CapEx cycle has come to an end. This sets the ideal conditions to reap the benefits in the short and medium term. Moving to the farming business, the positive outlook is related to the eventual change in some economic policies that the following administration would potentially address. This may include a combination of the elimination of export quotas, the reduction of export taxes for corn, wheat, and rice, and the depreciation of the Argentine peso. These measures improve the outlook of our cash generation that is also boosted by the increase in our operating efficiencies. As a matter of fact, we finished the 14-15 harvest season with higher yields in most of our crops. As of today, we are fully focused on successfully completing 15-16 harvest season. The planting plan is on schedule with excellent quality, weather conditions, and lower costs. In our dairy business, over the last 5 years, we have developed a revolutionary large-scale milking technology in Argentina that is delivering excellent results. In the last quarter, we reported a record high of 37 liters per cow per day, surpassing our target for the year of 35 liters per cow per day. We are very proud of the assets and management teams that we have been able to consolidate, and we are optimistic about the future. We are confident that under our scheme of being the most efficient and low-cost producer in the world in each one of the commodities we produce, we will be in the best position to capture the benefits that a more favorable scenario may imply. Now, I would like to ask Charlie to walk you through the main operating and financial highlights of the quarter. Charlie, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to walk you through a few slides that reflect the main operational and financial highlights of the quarter. Let's start on page 4, where I would like to focus on sugarcane milling. During the third quarter of 2015, our mills crushed 3.2 million tons of sugarcane, compared to 2.7 million tons in the third quarter of 2014. This 15% increase is mainly explained by a 22% increase in milling per day as a result of the ramp-up of capacity at the Ivinema mill, together with the higher milling efficiencies in all of our mills. This was partially offset by a 5% decrease in total effective milling days due to higher number of rainy days in the period. On a year-to-date basis, sugarcane crushing reached 6.5 million tons, 33% higher year over year. In addition to the drivers I just explained for the third quarter, the cumulative growth reflects our strategy of accelerating the start of the 2015 harvest in each of our mills in order to extend the harvest season and increase annual sugarcane crushing. This is reflected in the 11 additional days of effective milling in the first 9 months of 2015 compared to the first 9 months of 2014. This strategy was made possible by our focus on minimizing the inter-harvest maintenance and, most importantly, by the growth in our sugarcane plantation and annual crop treatment. Let's move to page 5, where I would like to highlight our agricultural productivity. As you can see on the top charts, our sugarcane yields in the third quarter of 2015 reached 86 tons per hectare, 11% higher than last year. In addition, our TRS content increased 3%, reaching 141 kilos per ton of sugarcane. As a result of these two factors, sugarcane production per hectare increased 14% in the third quarter of 2015 compared to the third quarter of 2014. As you can see on the bottom charts, year-to-date productivity improvements are even more remarkable. TRS per hectare has increased 21% year over year. As explained in previous quarters, these productivity gains are a result of our focus on improving our agricultural operations. Some examples of efficiency enhancements include effective implementation of pest controls, selection of specific cane varieties for the region, extension of the sugarcane growth cycle, and implementation of GPS-controlled planters and combines, among others. Let's now turn to slide 6. Sugar and ethanol production increased during the quarter, driven by the increase in sugarcane milling and higher TRS content. As you may see in the top chart, sugar production reached 187,000 tons, marking a 12% increase over the third quarter of 2014. Regarding ethanol, production stood at 146,000 cubic meters, 27% higher year over year. Measured in TRS equivalent, production increased 20% in the third quarter of 2015 compared to the third quarter of 2014. On a year-to-date basis, production measured in TRS equivalent has increased 37% year over year. Turning to slide 7, I would like to comment on coal generation. The top chart, we see that exported energy, or in other words, the energy which is sold to the grid, increased by 40% year over year and by 54% on a year-to-date basis. The growth in coal generation is explained by the increase in sugarcane milling, but most importantly, by higher coal generation efficiency. As you may see in the bottom chart, coal generation exports reached a record of 72 kilowatt-hour per ton of sugarcane crushed in the third quarter of 2015, 22% higher than the third quarter of 2014. On a year-to-date basis, this ratio stands at 67 kilowatt-hour per ton, 16% higher year over year. It is worth noting that this represents one of the highest cogeneration ratios in the industry, and we believe there is still upside for improvement. Now let's please turn to slide 8, where I would like to discuss our sugar sales. If we take a look at the graph on the left, you may see that our sugar sales volumes during the third quarter of 2015 totaled 196,000 tons, marking a 12% increase compared to the third quarter of 2014. As you may see on the chart in the middle, the The increase in volumes was partially offset by lower sugar prices. As a result of the global sugar supply and the weak sugar cycle, our realized sugar prices during the third quarter of 2015 were, in average, 27% lower than prices in the third quarter of 2014. This resulted in an 18% decrease in total sales. Nevertheless, as you can see on the chart on the right, as of September 30th, we held 120,000 tons of sugar in our inventory, 83% more compared to the last year. These sugar volumes have been scheduled and committed for delivery during the fourth quarter, which will allow us to capture more attractive prices. If you could please turn to slide 9, I would like to walk you through our strategic ethanol carry. Due to production seasonality and the fact that mills are maximizing ethanol production and selling as they produce in order to generate cash, hydrous and anhydrous ethanol prices have been trading at weak levels between May and August. Prices reached their lowest level during August. During this month, we decided to minimize our sales volumes and start to fill up our ethanol tanks at our cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul. The yellow bar in the chart shows the growth in our ethanol stockpile. As you may see in the chart, ethanol prices began a very steep rally during October, driven by strong consumption growth, coupled with a 6% increase in gasoline prices announced by Petrobras on September 30th. Up until November the 6th, hydrous ethanol prices have increased over 31%. We expect prices to remain at attractive levels during November through March as milling season comes to an end, reducing supply, while at the same time consumption is expected to pick up during the summer months. This strategy has resulted in a postponement of sales from the third quarter to the fourth quarter. As of September 30th, we held 136,000 cubic meters of ethanol in our storage tanks, 25% higher year over year, which we expect to sell during the fourth quarter. This is expected to boost our ethanol sales and profitability. Let's move to page 10. As you may see in the left chart, despite the implementation of our carry strategy, ethanol sales volume increased by 30,000 cubic meters, driven by the growth in production. Nonetheless, as you may see in the chart in the middle, ethanol sales have remained virtually flat year over year. This is explained by a 41% decrease in realized ethanol price during the third quarter of 2015, compared to the third quarter of 2014. Although prices measured in Brazilian reais only fell 5% during this period, prices measured in dollar terms were negatively affected by the 56% depreciation of the Brazilian real. The flip side to the impact of the devaluation on our ethanol sales in dollar terms, that our costs of production are also diluted. Now let's please turn to slide 11, where I would like to discuss energy sales. As you may see in the top left chart, despite water levels at hydroelectric dams remain at 5-year lows, energy spot prices have been highly volatile during the third quarter of 2015 as a result of excess rains and lower electricity consumption. Prices fluctuated between 240 and 145 reais per megawatt hour. In addition, I'd like to remind you that on November the 25th, 2014, the Brazilian National Energy Agency decided to lower the ceiling price of energy from 822 reais to 388 reais per megawatt hour, which explains most of the decrease year over year. As you may see in the chart below, despite a 73% growth in volume sold, net sales fell by 22%. In addition to lower market prices in reais, our realized price in dollars were also affected by the devaluation of the Brazilian real. Year over year, realized prices in dollars decreased 55% from $117 per megawatt hour to $53. Let's move to slide 12. Here, we can see the overall financial performance of the sugar, ethanol, and energy business. Total net sales during the quarter reached 94.5 million, 15% lower than the same period of 2014. Likewise, adjusted EBITDA during the period decreased 14% from 55 million in the third quarter of 2014 to 47 million in the third quarter of 2015. As explained during the previous slide, the reduction in revenues and EBITDA is mainly a result of lower price coupled with a postponement of sugar and ethanol sales from the third quarter to the fourth quarter. Nonetheless, adjusted EBITDA margins in the same period increased from 49% to 50%. This growth is explained by higher agricultural productivity and operational leverage, which has resulted in dilution of our fixed costs. Now let's turn to slide 13 to get an overview of our sugar hedge position. As part of our risk and commercial strategy, we mitigate price volatility by hedging our crops in the derivatives market. Despite the weak commodity price environment, our commercial team has been able to hedge prices above current market prices, protecting the company's cash flows and margins. As of September 30th of 2015, we had 477,000 tons of sugar from the 2015 and 16 harvest, hedged at 14.4 cents per pound. Futures contracts at the time were trading at 12.4 cents per pound. Therefore, the mark-to-market of the position generated a gain of $12.7 million, which is mostly realized. Related to the 2016 and 17 harvest season, as of September 30th, we had 211,000 tons of sugar hedged at 13.6 cents per pound. Futures contracts at the same time were trading at 12.8 cents per pound, thus generating an unrealized gain on that position of $4 million, which is mostly unrealized. In September 30th, sugar prices have rallied to over 14 cents per pound. Since only 37% of our estimated production is hedged, this price rally would allow us to increase our hedging volumes at higher price levels and increase our margins. I would now like to move on to the farming business. Please direct your attention to slide 15, where we discuss the farming production. As of September 30, 2015, we have formally completed the 2014 and 15 harvest year. A total of 224.3 thousand hectares were harvested, producing a total of 803.5 thousand tons of diversified crops. The implementation of sustainable production model, together with best practices such as crop rotation and no-till among others, coupled with excellence in execution, has allowed us to achieve high yields despite average weather during the year. As you may see in the charts, soybean and soybean double crop yields were 10% and 26% higher than the previous harvest season, respectively. Corn yields were 2% higher year over year, while sunflower yields remained flat. Turning to page 16, I will briefly discuss the planting plan for the 2015 and 16 harvest season. We are successfully undertaking the planting plan on schedule and with good weather conditions. We tended to seed a total of 221,000 hectares, in line with the previous harvest season. Nonetheless, we have made some adjustments to the production mix based on changes in prices and relative margins through the different crops. As you may see in the chart, we have decided to increase our soybean crop planted area by 3%. Corn planted area is expected to increase by 8% compared to the previous harvest season. To the contrary, wheat and sunflower areas have been reduced by 13 and 21% respectively. Finally, our rice area will be expanding by 2% as a result of our land transformation activities. As of September, a total of 77.6 thousand hectares, or 35% of total area, have been successfully planted. Weather conditions have been good and crops are developing as expected. Let's move to page 17, where I would like to walk you through the financial performance of our farming business. In the case of crops, adjusted EBIT has decreased by 61% to 6.9 million. The reduction is primarily explained by the year-over-year fall in commodity prices and the rising inflation in Argentina that has more than offset the nominal depreciation of the Argentine peso, resulting in an appreciation of the currency in real terms, which increases our costs measured in dollars and reduces our margins. These effects were partially offset by higher yields in most of our crops. Regarding the rice business, the fall in adjusted EBIT is mainly explained by the combination of lower yields due to adverse weather and higher costs in dollar terms, driven the appreciation of the Argentine peso in real terms. In the dairy business, we delivered solid operational performance in the quarter. We were able to capitalize the benefits of the consolidation of our freestall facilities, reaching our target level of 37.6 liters per cow per day. Consequently, milk production volumes increased 13.4% year over year, driven by a 10% increase in productivity and a 3% growth in our dairy cow herd. The gains from productivity were offset by lower milk prices and higher costs measured in dollar terms, resulting in a 53% decrease in adjusted EBIT. On an aggregate basis, despite higher productivity in our crops and dairy segments, consolidated EBIT decreased by 64% in the third quarter of 2015 and by 57% in the first 9 months of 2015 for the reasons I just explained. Let's turn to page 18. We generated a $13.2 million gain related to the mark-to-market of our soybean, corn, and wheat hedge position. It's worth noting that these gains are mostly realized and already captured in our P&L. As we can see in the top chart, as of September 30th, 148,000 tons of soybean related to the 2015 and 16 harvest were hedged at 1,014 cents per bushel. The July futures contract, as of September 30th, was trading at 904 cents per bushel, generating a mark-to-market gain. In the case of corn, we hedged 125,000 tons of corn at 452 cents per bushel. As of September 30th, the corn futures contract was priced at 411 cents per bushel. Therefore, we generated a mark-to-market gain. Let's now turn to page 20, which shows the evolution of Adecuagro's consolidated operational and financial performance. On a consolidated basis, net sales decreased year over year from 196.7 million in the third quarter of 2014 to 165 million in the third quarter of 2015. While consolidated adjusted EBITDA decreased from 70.3 million in the third quarter of 2014 to 49.7 million in the third quarter of 2015. The gap in revenues and adjusted EBITDA is explained by our sugar and ethanol carry strategy, which has postponed sales and profit from the third quarter to the fourth quarter, lower selling prices in dollar terms for most of the commodities we produce, and higher production costs in the farming business due to the appreciation of the Argentine peso in real terms. Moving to page 21, we can see that despite very high price volatility for most of the commodities we produce over the last 5 years, we have managed to keep our adjusted EBITDA margins relatively stable over the same period. Margins have fluctuated between 24 to 31%. This is a direct result of our strategy of being the lowest cost producer for each of the commodities we produce and our focus on operational efficiency. In addition, our geographic and product diversification also allow us to mitigate yield and price volatility, providing stable cash flows and margins. This strategy will allow Adecoagro to generate positive cash flows throughout the commodity cycles. Let's move on to page 22. As you may see on the top left chart, our gross indebtedness as of September 30th, 2015, stands at $809 million, while net debt stands at $585 million. I would like to highlight that our net debt has decreased by $37 million compared to the second quarter of 2015. I'd like to mention that 70% of our debt remains in the long term, including multilateral banks such as the BNDES and IDB at very competitive rates, as you can see on the bottom left chart. Finally, let's move to page 23, where I would like to comment on CapEx. As anticipated in previous quarters, total CapEx is expected to slow down during 2015, driven by the completion of the Vinema mill and the consolidation of our sugarcane cluster in Mato Grosso do Sul. We can already see the downward trend reflected in the current quarter. Capital expenditures during the quarter reached $24 million, 70% lower than the same period of 2014. The same trend can be identified for the accumulated 9 months, where total capex stood at $122 million, marking a 54% decline over the first 9 months of 2014. As of today, no major growth project has been committed for 2016 and forward. Therefore, we expect CapEx to consist primarily of maintenance related to the sugar and ethanol business. This includes the planting of sugarcane to renew our plantations and the inter-harvest maintenance of milling and agricultural equipment. We expect CapEx to range between $140 and $150 million in 2015, and between $70 and $90 million in 2016. The combination of decreasing CapEx and increasing cash generation will allow Adecoagro to become cash flow positive by year-end and start generating attractive levels of free cash flow starting in 2016. Thank you very much for your time. We are now open to questions.